This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Probably a better striker. You could have probably gone and got the Blackburn captain that we was rumoured to be heavily after. And we would have probably been in a better situation because we would have had a bit more depth. We'd have had a bit more flair, but we would have got younger and we would have got better quality players. Now, Zian's a good player. He's a very good player. And he has played very well in stints this year. He hasn't reached the heights of last year, obviously, but he's asked to do a different job and we're asked to play a different role. But ultimately, this is about the squad. This ain't about one player. And if you can go and get two good players, real good players in this division for the price of one, I think you have to bite their hand off. Bailey makes a good point here. You know, wages is a big issue. Creswell's probably on a decent wage now, Leeds, after his deal up at the start of the season. Probably is. And Obafemi as well. Obafemi's probably on, you know, a fair chunk. I wouldn't be surprised if we're paying probably 30% of their wages, how it normally works with loans, unless we're paying the full whack. I don't think we are, because we definitely ain't with Tanganga. So with Tanganga going back, Obafemi's going back, and with your Longman going back,
Norton Coffey's going, isn't he?
Norton Coffey going back as well. We need to replace these players, because all these players are young as well. So that, again, ups the age of the squad, the depth of the squad, and the quality of the squad. Now, I think we'd have more chance of getting Creswell in the summer because I don't think he's got a future at Leeds, especially if they go up. And Obafemi, if when Burnley come down, will we try and make a snip at him? I'd like to go after Obafemi. I think he's a good player. I think he can be a good player for us. But then you've got Nisbet, you've got Bradshaw, and then you'll have Obafemi. Someone's going to miss out, and that's another wage. And I think you're going to have three of the same type of striker, whereas we need a big target man. You know, if we would have signed Kiefer Moore when, you know, the deal was done, and he ultimately turned it down because they couldn't get their replacement in, or whatever the reason was, we wouldn't be in this situation, I don't think, because we would have had a plan B and we would have had different options. That's what it's about, having different options. We saw today the problem that without having that target man, it was on full display today, because we may get something out of that game with a target man. And that was clear today. Harry should look at that if he's the manager next season. He should look at that game today, or that back end of that second half, and say to himself, I need a target man. And if he doesn't, then he shouldn't be here. I'm a massive Harris fan, everybody. Harris is a legend. He keeps us up. He's got God status. But if he can't see what we're seeing and it doesn't change, we're going to find ourselves banging trouble next season, which I think we will be. If we stay up, I think we're going to be in this situation again next season, because we can't replace these players. We haven't got the finances and we haven't got the squad depth. And like I said, we've got 11 players that won't be here if we don't renew some of them. So even if you was to renew these players, that does take away from the finances you're able to spend, because that goes on wages. and then we've still got a similar squad of a similar age, of a similar quality, that couldn't get it done last year when the chips were, you know, when it was crunch time, and are not getting it done this year for vast amounts of this year. We had a good December, and then we had a good month when Harris comes in, and now it's only 1 point from three, and the holes, the leaks, the issues and the flaws are all starting to come out now, because the honeymoon period for Harris is over and he's got to change it. So do we beat Huddersfield? I honestly don't know. I honestly don't know. And if we don't beat Huddersfield, or at least the very least, don't get a draw from the Huddersfield game and they beat us, I can see the mentality of last year, the mentality under Edwards, creeping back in. And I don't think even Harris would be able to save us. What do you think on that? Would you think we stay up?
Right, let's start with Huddersfield. Prediction, I think we'll get a draw. Would you be happy with a draw, Jay, at this point?
Well, it depends on the other results, because you look at the other teams that are around us who've got to play. You know, you've got the likes of Stoke going at home to West Brom, Middlesbrough home to Swansea, QPR, Sheffield Wednesday, Leicester at home to Birmingham, Cardiff at Hull. You know, you've got these are all games that can go in our favour. You know, so if we do beat Huddersfield, we're back. We could probably breathe a little bit easier again, because then that's one less game done. That's five games left where they need to make up 7 points. You know, do I think they can do that? No, I don't. But do I think that we will fuck it up? Yeah, I think we will, because that's the club that we are at the moment. That's the mentality that we've got about us. Because then straight after the Huddersfield game, we got to come back home to the Den on Tuesday night and play Leicester. You know, it's a quick turnaround. And then you've got Sheffield Wednesday at home to Norwich. You got Preston at home to Huddersfield. Plymouth have got to play QPR. So as big as this Easter weekend was for our season, next weekend is now even bigger. Because again, it's two matches in a very short period, space of time, where teams have got to play each other around us and they've got harder fixtures. And we have got an opportunity to pull ourselves away. Will we do that? We might nick a result at home to Leicester if we lose to Huddersfield, but then we're just playing the yo-yo situation with our emotions and with our mentality that we have done all season. Now, the comments are going mad. You guys are just as angry as we are, and rightly so, because these players need to show more. Was it a mentality issue today? Do you think it was a mentality issue today where we just wasn't up for it, or we just couldn't go toe-to-toe with Rotherham? Or was it just a quality issue and a lack of having that target man and a lack of a plan B?
I think they underestimated Rotherham, first and foremost. I think they're tired. I think we're seeing the same as last year. They are a tired football team. And for how well we played against West Brom, when you're having to defend in them long stints, it is tiring mentally and physically. And that was on show. They just didn't get going. Did not get going. And I wish I knew the answer, because I think there's a lot of issues with that team. I really do.
So what do you think the main issues that going into the Huddersfield game, outside of what's going on off the pitch with people, you know, in the boardroom and whatever, you know, issues that may lie there with certain individuals, what do you think the issues that Harris needs to address?
Continuity. I think let's just get a starting 11 and stick with it for now until we need to make changes, because the changes that he made today, they obviously weren't the answer, were they?
Yeah, and it's interesting because Casper has fallen on the sword, not from a quality standpoint, but just from a fit standpoint, that he doesn't fit what Harris is trying to do. And I actually thought he wasn't a bad player today. I thought that we tried to force him on the ball and we tried to make everything go through Casper at times in that game. And it just didn't work. and it just didn't work. I think, yeah, Billy's got to come back in for me. That would upset people, but Billy Mitchell has to come back into that team because he does the job that Harris wants him to do, and he does it better than, excuse me, he does it better than everyone. And Harris has got more confidence, clearly, in Billy Mitchell, because we've lost our second game under Harris. All right, Leeds, I'm not going to paint that down because no one really expects us to beat Leeds. But losing to Rotherham, you have to start looking at within. You've got to start looking at the changes that need to be made. You know, Mayer got himself down that left-hand side comfortably against Rotherham. I think he would cause Huddersfield a lot of problems. And I think he should start. He should get a start. What have we got to lose? Because you're just going to stick Watmore up there again. Like, what does Watmore offer us? He doesn't offer nothing to this football club. He's a headless chicken. He runs and runs and runs and runs and runs. And all right, he nicked his goal, but he also missed this absolute sitter that could have won us the game. Watmore needs to not see the field again this season. Longman needs to not see the field again this season. All right, he got his goal, but he's not going to be here. He's not going to be here. It goes back to what we said weeks ago about players that are not going to be here. Do they care enough to play for the shirt in a situation that we're in? And I don't think, they might look like they do sometimes, but I don't think overall they do. So get Mayer in the team, get Billy Mitchell back in the team. Brooke Norton Cuffey's probably only one because he's had overall a good season, Norton Cuffey. So he's the only one that I would say out of the players that ain't going to be here next season that should probably come in. But then Honeyman has played very good. So if it's for me, I'll come to you after, but my formation for next week, I'd go with Sarkic. You know, I know a few people ain't going to like that, but I thought Sarkic has been pretty decent lately. You know, he's made some good saves and, you know, he's been a part of what has been a good defence under Harris. So I'll go with Sarkic, Lenny, Cooper, Tanganga, Danny McNamara, Mitchell, Saville, Mayer, Honeyman out wide, Fleming behind Obafemi. I don't think there is any other lineup because there isn't any other players fit enough to wear that shirt or good enough in the situation that we're in to warrant getting a start. So who are you going with? Before I let you leave, I'm going to get your team selection and your prediction for next week.
I'd stick by that, Jay. I'd have Billy back in. And I would like to see that Mayer on the wing just to give a few problems. But if you don't see him, if he's still a bit green, like I say, we don't see what goes in day in, day out, then I'd probably see Longman on instead of Watmore.
Okay, and your prediction, do we beat Huddersfield?
I think 1-1.
1-1, and then obviously won't see you for the Tuesday game. I'll probably see you in person though at the Den. So what are you going with on Tuesday, the following Tuesday against Leicester?
I think we'll draw that as well.
You think we'll draw that? So 2 points, and if results go out,
Yeah.
And if results go our way, they could be 2 valuable points. But look, Nick, I want to thank you very much for your time for coming on. Appreciate that. It's been it's not a very good conversation to have. But I appreciate your time, and I'll catch you down the Den, mate. Thank you very much for joining us.
Hello, mate.
Well, thanks to Nick for coming on. Look, yeah, he's a bit short notice for guests, but Nick was there today and it was good to get his opinion. And he shares some of the exact same opinions that we all have, guys. Like, look, you know, this is a mentality problem that's rotten through the club, and Harris is doing his best to do that. And we're going to spend the next sort of half hour or so going through your comments now while I'm running solo. So why did Harris play Honeyman on the wing today when he's fit so well for the gaffer in the middle of his past few games? I think the thing is, Honeyman has played out wide under Harris most of the games that he's been in charge of, you know, and Honeyman does a really good job there. I wanted to see Honeyman move into the middle with what we thought Saville was going to be injured. So I would like to see that try and manoeuvre him in there in the middle. That could be a good thing because he's got the legs. He cares. He's a cruncher. And he can stretch the field, Honeyman. You know, he's a real good player for us. But I think Honeyman will probably stay out on the wing because it's a settled position. The only position that really hasn't been settled under Harris has been that left-hand side. You know, he's chopped and changed with Longman, Brooke Norton, Cuffy, Duncan, Watmore, and Mayer today. But we're running out of options now. You know, it's going to have to be the same back four. We are strapped at the back. We cannot afford another injury at the back. For God rest us, if we get another injury at the back, we're banging trouble, because we're playing a right back at left back with the injuries that we've got now to our two left backs. Cooper's had a poor season. Thought he would give us more after he got his new contract. That's a really good point. That's a really good point, because I, for one, was quite pleased that he signed his new contract. He has been a good servant for the club, a real good servant for the club. But he hasn't played very good this season. He hasn't got on the score sheet, which is unusual for Coupe. He's normally good for half a dozen each season. So, yeah, Cooper is one who needs to stare at himself in the mirror, because he hasn't played very well. He's a different player than Sean Hutchinson. When Sean Hutchinson's in that side and he's the captain, Cooper feels a sense of relief, and Cooper is a much better defender. I think the captaincy really holds him back. I don't think he should be captain. I think it's too much for him. I think you need to give it to George Saville, who's a bit more feisty, who likes to get in the ref's ear, and just let Cooper concentrate on being a defender, because he isn't playing very good football at the moment, and he does need to hold his hands up for it, because he's been very poor. Get Bobby in the box, Jay. Danny Mack should have started today. I totally agree with you. This is an interesting point, because I think he is as well, Alex. I think Longman is a Harris-type player. The thing with Longman and the thing with the club situation with the finances is that versatility is going to be ever more so important when it comes to recruitment, because we haven't got millions to spend on players. Someone like Longman, who has played forward, maybe not very well, but has played out on the left, can play wing back, can play wide right, can play in the cam. I think you get some versatility from Longman that covers a few positions, and you'd probably get him at a snippet the way Hull were going. You know, they spent a lot of money, Hull, and if they don't go up, then I think Rossini's job could be in danger, because their expectations are so high. I think he would be a Harris-type signing. I hope he isn't, because you only hinder Adam Mayer, because I think he's predominantly a left-sided player. I wouldn't like him to come back, to be honest. But, you know, don't wish him any harm or any bad juju. John Brodin, think you're right, Harris might bring Hutch in for Tango, as Cooper plays much better of a skip. He does, as we just said. I don't think Tango gets dropped, because I think Tango has been a brilliant defender. Didn't have his best game today, but who did? You know, but he can also play right back. So the option is there, you know. We're lucky that Lenny has been able to stay fit. That's been a mantra of his downfall over the last recent years and even up this season. I think that one more injury to the back line, hopefully Hutchinson can come back soon enough to give us that option. But we are getting very, very thin. I agree. I think Hutchinson at some point, you need leadership. In this team, especially at the back. Now, for Tanganga's quality, I don't think he's a leader, and Cooper certainly isn't. So maybe that is a call that gets made. Or maybe Cooper gets dropped and Hutchinson comes in alongside Tanganga. Why not? Because it can't do any harm at this point. Huddersfield, a big physical side. We've got to match that and beat them at football. And this is why I was quite a little bit down on the whole Murray Wallace getting injured, because Murray Wallace has been a good server. Murray Wallace has been a good player. You know, his legs have gone, that's for nothing, but he's physical. And he would add to that game plan against Huddersfield, he would. I think Danny Mack might struggle a little bit, but then Danny Mack's pace does help make up for it, because they do like to stretch it, Huddersfield. They do like to burst down the wing and whip it in. So, you know, it's Danny Mack, whether we like it or not, because there is no one else. I do agree with you. And that's it, Chris, isn't it? But the problem is, mate, is that the evidence is supporting that theory at the moment, you know. Denora and Mitchell behind them in the middle would be better. I think need to drop Fleming. That's an interesting take. I want to know what your thoughts are in the chat about Fleming, because he's the only one who can really play or has really played the cam for us for a long time. You know, Saville, when he first started out, he played more advanced and he was very good there. But that midfield three, that's an interesting take, because we don't really get forward enough. The only problem I see with that, Connor, is that if we do sit them three behind, what one of them sits further ahead and how do we link the play with the forward men? Because they're all naturally deeper line midfield players. We'd need one of them to move up, because if you drop Fleming out for three central midfielders or true central midfielders and a defensive midfielder like Billy is, where does the attacking threat come from? Where does the link between the midfield and the attack come from? If you're going to drop Fleming, you probably need to sit someone like an SA in there. Will he play under Harris? Or probably not as much, but SA is probably the only one. And Marku, if fit, you could see sitting there who's got the pace. But then I want to see a Marku as a striker. So I think we're sacrificing Fleming to just create another problem if we do that, to be honest with you. Yeah, Tank, yeah, agree with you. Look, I think Danny was dropped because the options were there. Andrew, sorry. The options were there for Danny to be dropped. I think if you drop that Tango, there isn't really another option there unless Hutch. I don't think Hutchison is fit enough to start games at the moment. So that's the only call there. The problem is that you do want to see these players dropping out because they're not performing, or you know, you want to see others get a chance, but there isn't any ready-made players that can come in and take that role. This is a good option. Honeyman in the 10. Yeah, I agree with you, PR. That's a name that hasn't been touted in the 10. Why not? You know, and then you could see Brooke Norton, Cuffey and Meyer go out wide. That's a good option. You know, we could see that. What about using Fleming as a striker? Any thoughts on that, using Fleming as the centre forward? Because he's clearly the only one in his team that's got goals in him. So what about that, dropping him into the centre forward position where he can drop back and link play and it can be spread wide as a false nine, for instance? I want to know people's thoughts on that. Yeah, agree with you, Chris. Agree with you. You know, that is an option. An option that hasn't been discussed much. So it could be an option. Will Harris do it? I don't think he will. I don't think he will do that. I think he's going to be true to what he's done. You know, Fleming's played every game under Harris. And I think he's going to go back to what set us on the road to safety in the first place. But Fleming up top, Honeyman in the 10, that could work. I think play him up top. Hutch is a monster. Yeah, I agree with you. Your Maya, who are you interview? Bobby, drop the pod a DM on Twitter or in the community chats that we've got, mate, if you're part of the community chats. And I'm sure that Mickey or Stephen or Omar will set that up. The who are yous are becoming more frequent. Omar's went out last week, so check Omar's out. Mine's coming out at some point this week. So, yeah, it's there, mate. If you want to do it, like I say, drop a message in or DM myself after the pod and we can get that arranged if you want to do that, mate. Not a problem. Yeah, I don't think he's better than him as a striker, but I think one of the comments saying, look, yeah, like you just said there, John, look, he's our best finisher. He's clearly got the instincts. He's got the mind for it. And he's a bit more clinical and technical. He isn't just a run straight, you know, rush into the box and try. He can score goals from outside the box. He can score goals that others can't, you know, left foot, right foot, you know, curlers. He's got that technical ability about him where, you know, if it does drop onto the edge of the box, him being that further forward player, that false nine, for instance, it may work. I would definitely be open to trying that because something's got to work because we're not scoring goals. Ladies and gents, we ain't scoring goals. We need to score goals. That's the only way that we're going to stay up is goals. You get points from scoring goals. And while we keep teams out, mostly, you know, we only get beat by the odd one or two, you know, especially under Harris, we don't concede many, but we're not scoring. We had to rely on
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
90-odd minute or 89th minute, 90-minute winner. Birmingham, you know, we had to backs against the wall for Watford for much of that second half. You know, we're winning 1-0, 1-0, and it's a 2-1. Great result at Southampton, but, you know, it's a 2-1 with Southampton. And it's a, we squandered a lead at Blackburn through a defensive error. We haven't got any room to make any defensive errors in this side because we don't score the goals that allow you to get away with the odd mistake. You know, we don't go and pump teams 3-0. Because if you do, and Danny Mac makes that, if we scored the chances that we had against Blackburn and Danny Mac makes that mistake and lets Blackburn back in and they get that goal, that killed us. Because that was the one mistake that we could make at the back and it was punished. And we couldn't recoup from that. And it's the same today. You know, where did the goals come from? It's a bobbled ball in the box from another set piece. And we end up nicking it. But rather than go down and score. Because we rely on set pieces. Look at all of our goals under Harris. Most of our goals under Harris. The two against Southampton. The one against Birmingham. You know, I believe Watford. Can't quite remember the Watford goal. But... you know, and today, they're all set pieces. We do not score goals from open play. That's got to change. Now, Honeyman's a very good technical player as well. He can see a pass. He can stretch the field. He can get him behind. And Fleming up top might be the best option there because we're not going to outscore teams. So we can't rely or we can't have any mistakes at the back because one mistake takes points off the ball for us. And other teams don't have that. They have the luxury of being 2-3-0 up or they've got the options there that if they do get into trouble or they make a mistake at the back, they can get themselves out of it. The reality is we've punched above our weight for the last 3-4 seasons with mediocre players. I don't believe having a blockbusting budget. Yeah. And listen, we've said it before, guys. Yeah. Most of these players in this starting lineup and in this squad was signed by New Harris. Now, what other teams have this longevity? You know, a lot of teams, they bring the player through, you know, they play a couple of years, then they move on for a good profit. Bristol City are very good at doing that. Norwich are very good at doing that. Huddersfield have done that. QPR have done that. These teams around us, business-wise, they make money. You know, and they know when to freshen things up. It needs freshening up at Millwall, big time, because these players have been here since Harris was in charge. We've had four managers since Harris, including Harris for the second time. It's just four managers. Five, if you include Barrett. And it's the same players. And they're asked to do vastly different things. Rowett is probably similar to what Harris wants to do, but Harris likes to just add that little bit more of attack where he plays a Rowett-style defensive football but with four at the back. So then Edwards comes in and tries to change it up and then Barrett just tries to steady the ship. These players aren't good enough. They're not good enough. There's some quality there, but that ship has sailed. It's ran its course and we're holding on to players that year too late. Blackburn game, after that game, we should have gutted the squad. We should have done. Because we should have saw the signs that we could push on next season. Dan Riggs put the comment up earlier. It's the oldest squad in the Championship. It is. It's the oldest squad in the Championship that has only come from behind to win a game. The last time we did that, as Dan put up, was in 2022. This is not sustainable. Now, the football under Harris isn't sustainable, but it might keep us up. But we need to have a serious overhaul. But going down is going to jeopardise that, because we could find ourselves in an even deeper situation if we go down. There's a real danger that without the finances and the loss of players, that the quality gets so bad because we're having to go from the youth, or we're having to buy really low on prospects or on if, buts and maybes, that we could see ourselves sitting in League One for years. It happened before. League One's not an easy league to get out of. League One is what the Championship was 6 years ago. Some big teams in League One with some big budgets, some big squads. We're not going to go back down to League One and march straight back up. It's not going to happen. Buy cheap, sell high business, and that's what we have to do. That's what we have to do, and we don't do that. We do not recoup any money for any players. The last one we did, I think, was George Saville, and that was even with in a payment structure. You know, and that money did go back. You know, we saw some of it. We spent some, but what did we get out of it? We got nothing. We've actually spent some money. You know, we bought Fleming in over $1 million, Casper over $1 million, Nisbet over $1 million. You know, we've bought in some players, but we're not recouping from the existing players that we've got. We're not overhauling the squad. We need to overhaul the squad. And this is where the problem lies, because it's poorly ran. Football, as much as we hate to admit it, ladies and gents, football nowadays is a business. Yeah, Millwall aren't no different to that. We may be one of the very few, if only, old school football clubs where, you know, old school passionate fans and an old school way of playing football and mentality and belief and an aura about us that no other club has. But ultimately, it's a business, and the business is what keeps you up. The business is what sends you down, and the business is where you make your bread. And we don't do it. We do it poorly. We let youth go for nothing, or they just get taken away and we don't invest it, or we hold on to players too long in their career where they're unsaleable, they don't have a market to sell them, or they leave on a free. We don't recoup. There's no turnover. Squads need turnover to be successful. Every Championship club, every few years, the squad looks completely different. Ours has been the same for the last several years. The same players. It's very stale. Very stale. And it has to change. And some of these fan favourite players, you know, they may need to be moved on because the club's bigger. And if we go down with the finances changing in the Championship next season, the TV rights and so on, and the, you know, the game rights, and just being in the Championship, going down would be catastrophic for this club. With the situation that we're in off the field, with the recruitment, the finances, and the squad, having 11 players, which is what, of a 25-man squad, this half your squad, almost, going or being out of contract, we're in major trouble. Major trouble. Here's the people who run the club. Well, put this squad together, never gets the pelt as he should, always is good. He did and he didn't, though, Stephen, you know, because, you know, Harris signed Leonard, Harris signed Sav, Harris signed Cooper, you know, Murray Wallace, you know, Billy Mitchell come through under Harris, Bradshaw, he signed Bradshaw. Mostly players are Harris players. Rowett got the most out of these players. The best we've had out of these players was the first season we come up under Harris, and last season, take away the last month and a half and the last season under Rowett. The rest of it, you know, we've been fighting for our lives. Don't think he's committed as his dad was, and it could hurt us in the summer if it doesn't bring Harris back to the transfer market. I think that he's done really well, James Berylson, to steady the ship, you know, in what's a terrible situation for his family. How much does he want to do it? That remains, I don't think we'll ever really know that. You know, we know that his dad wanted him to do it and he's doing it for his dad. Ultimately, we want someone who wants to be here. I think he does. I think he gets it. I think he gets us. He was the one who decided to bring Harris back, apparently. He's the one who made the phone call to Harris to say, would you come back? So, you know, and he was at the Den on Friday. So I've got no problems with James Berylson. I think he needs to just learn a bit more. Needs to not let others around him run the club. You know, I think that's where the problem is lying off the field, that others are running the club. And James Berylson's the man who signs off, but he's ultimately told by your people in the board, the usual names that we've mentioned. I think they're the ones running the club. Does anything else need to be said about that? You know, it is. That is Millwall. I remember a stint years ago when we went 14 games unbeaten. Wickham Wanderers, I think they hadn't won in 13 games. We went to Wickham away, beat us 3-0. You know, QPR. You know, and but then we go and beat Southampton and Watford and, you know, good display against West Brom and give a good count of ourselves at Leeds. It's always been the Millwall way, is we play well against the big teams because the crowd's up for it and the atmosphere's there and the players see this big team. You know, we've had it with the FA Cup runs, you know, Leicester, Watford, all coming down to the Den, Everton. You know, we're going to beat Blackburn, who were flying at the time, Aston Villa. You know, they come down to the Den and they struggle because this is an horrible place to come and play football, down the Den. Always has been. Hasn't been this year, though. It's been an easy ride. But it is very Millwall. And we said it on the pod the other night that this is on the table. This isn't off. This isn't something that we're not expecting. You know, we should be beating Rotherham, but if we lose that game, don't say it weren't expected or that's caught you with a sucker punch, because that's Millwall. That's Millwall all over. It's put us in a bad situation, a very, very bad situation, because now that mentality is coming back to bite us in the arse. Stevie Warner can see that Kevin and all are playing football club with JB Jr. Kev himself said at the forum, James hasn't got a clue how to run a club. And he said that in front of all of us. And I think we spoke about that when I met up with you on Friday, Dan, didn't we? That's shocking that that gets outed at a forum in front of fans. And that speaks volumes to why we're in the situation that we're in. Because if John Berylson's still in charge, I don't think we see that. I don't think we see that. You know, it's, would Edwards have been hired if John, God rest him, was still here? Maybe not. Maybe not, because it was Aldo that reached out to Edwards. It really, you know, it was Aldo who reached out to him. How much freedom has he got? A guy should not be here. The guy, well, I think Mickey put it up, our said scout or him, whatever, was a postman. And how thick is his black book? You need a black book in that role that he's in. You need a black book of contacts, of people you can go after for loans, tap up about contracts. You know, you need to know agents. Who is he? What's he? What bread has he earned? He went to Stoke and completely fucked that up. Why he come back? Why we thought that was a good idea? I don't know. But he's part of the problem, without a shadow of a doubt. Massive, massive part of the problem. I'll come to this one first. Who do you want to see come in the summer, given that most of the players are out of contracts on their leave? And this is something that we could talk about all night, Connor. We really could, because with the players that are leaving, who is out there? You know, we've got some ready-made replacements, but that takes away from the squad depth. You know, you've got Meyer, can replace Longman. We haven't got anyone on that right-hand side at all. No one at all. Up front, you know, Bradders and Nisbet are going to be here, so I think we need to get a target man. Tanganga's going to go back. Mitchell should come in and hopefully take that spot, because I don't think Hutch might get a contract just for, you know, service and to be a leader in the locker room as a backup if needed. But ultimately, it depends who leaves and who gets renewed. And this is the problem, is that the club's got so much to do in the off season that the focus isn't going to be on football or tactics or the manager very much, because the club have got so much to sort out before we can even think of fielding a team. They need to get one first. So that's obviously going to set us back. I'd like to see, if I'm looking at individuals, I'd like to see Brooke Norton Cuffey maybe come back on loan. I don't think he's going to obviously go anywhere near the Arsenal team. I'd like to see if we can snip him back up, because I think there's a player there. I think there's been a good player there for us this season. I'd like to see us make a run at Cresswell again. I think he wants to come and play for the club. I think we want him. You know, we went after him, offered a deal for him that Leeds ultimately rejected because they wanted 4 million, I believe it was. But I'll go after Cresswell again, definitely. We need a left back. Malachi, he's been on loan at Sutton. Maybe the step up to the Championship starting is probably going to be too much. I think we've got Joe Bryan on the book still, but we need a left back. And we need another central midfielder. Desperate for a central midfielder and then a right-sided winger. But these are all before players out of contract and the loanee players go back. These are players that we need to be looking at to add to the squad, not replace players with. We need to be adding, you know, because we haven't got the depth. So these are the players that I'm mentioning, or the positions that I'm mentioning, are just going to fill the holes that are going to be left from players leaving. And that ain't good. That's not going to be good enough, because we won't have any depth behind them. So this is going to be a really busy off-season. We're going to see a lot of movement. Ultimately, I think a lot of the players are going to be retained that are out of contract, purely because it's cheaper and, you know, it's going to be financially easier for the club to do that. So I think Sav will be back. Bradshaw's already back. And a few of the others. Lenny, I think, gets offered the new deal as well. Maybe Hutch. I think Bart gets let go. I think Bart's done. But yeah, this is, you know, before we start talking about adding, we need to actually get enough players in first. So yeah, it's going to be real, real busy. Yeah, big time. Totally agree with you, John. McArthur's doing a fantastic job. Fantastic job. Harris should be put in that role. He's respected. People know him. People love him. You know, he gets the club. Yeah. I would quite happily see Harris upstairs without a doubt. Erling Foden and De Bruyne. Yeah, I'd love that. They can have 50 quid and all you can eat at the pie mash shop at half time. Really hoping that Harris took over. We would have said to Kavanagh that he doesn't want Aldo and that himself would buy the players he did. And, yeah. No, I don't think Aldo wanted someone like Harris back, because Harris overrides him and Aldo is self-centred, you know, narcissistic. It's all about Aldo. He approached Edwards. It's Aldo's way. He didn't go after Harris. It was Belson that did. Harris overrides and has more in the bank than Aldo. So, yeah, it won't be. That's already at loggerheads without a doubt. I'm going to get a few more of you guys and then I'm going to jump off, because I'm sure you can appreciate that running solo, it's difficult to talk to your comments or myself, but I'm going to try and get to the rest as much as I can so that you're not all left in limbo, and hopefully I can give you the right answers. And we'll have a full star-studded pod on the next one without a shadow of a doubt. Yeah, agree with you, Andrew. Yeah, it is. Hamstrings, groins, ankles. He's, again, an aging player. Aging squad. The comments are all the same, guys, isn't they? Look, we're all on the same page with the age of the squad, the what needs to happen with the squad, and it's been something that's not crept up on us. See, the thing is, this hasn't crept up on us. This isn't all of a sudden we've turned around and gone, fuck, we're the oldest squad in the league. We don't score goals. We don't retain. We don't get money back for players. We need to think about the future. We need to get some options behind these players. This hasn't crept up on us. It's been happening for years. Absolutely happening for years. And the fans have seen it. You guys have seen it. I've seen it. You know, we can all sit there. We sit out on a Saturday every week. You know, oh, we need a striker. We need a target man. We need another centre-half. The fans see it better than the people upstairs do. The fans at most clubs do. But then we're not the ones in that job. We're not paid to do that job. So ultimately it falls on deaf ears. And the only voice the fans have is on management decisions, because when it gets toxic down the den, things change. That's the only influence we have as fans. But we can't go calling for players. But it's this is not creeped up on us. This has been happening for years. And it's finally, not that I want it to, but now it's starting to veer its head over the horizon and bite us firmly in the arse. Because as Dan put up, it's the oldest squad in the Championship. And we've got no one behind. No ready-made replacements for the players out of contract. So they're going to get new deals because it's financially viable, because we can't go afford to replace all of them. So we're going to have the same situation next season, whether we're in League One or in the Championship. And this is a massive problem that we have. John, I really appreciate that, mate. Thank you very much. And I appreciate, guys, as I said, it hasn't been as smooth, but I've done my best. I hope you appreciate that. And I hope I haven't bored you, or you've, you know, I hope the show's been worth your time. And hopefully you won't send the pitchforks round for me after being solo for a while. Thank you, Andrew. I really appreciate that as well. Sounds like we played well. Just wasn't our day today. Do you know what, Peck and Poet? We just didn't play well. We didn't play well. No, it was just lump it, and there was no plan. It was just ruffling the box. It was limbs everywhere, and we didn't create enough. We didn't have that cutting pass or that edge. It was just trying to lump it in the box. It was slow and it was laboured, and it was pathetic. And the player should be ashamed of himself, because Harris will not have set that out there for that to be the game plan. You know, you could see Harris wanted to go after him today with the likes of De Norway coming in. Watmore keeping his place to stretch that on that left-hand side. You could see that Harris put the players in to maybe have a go at Rotherham. Not a full go, don't get me wrong, but having Casper in there, you can get after him a little bit, and it didn't work out. The players just didn't step up today. It was poor. Very poor. And they've got to own it. Harris will make sure they know it. And it may turn out to be a blessing in disguise, because we go to Huddersfield, which is an even bigger game. If we would have won today comfortably, you'd look at Huddersfield as the banana skin. Now Huddersfield isn't the banana skin. Huddersfield is the, we can't fuck this up. That we can't fuck this up game was today. That's gone now. That trump card has been played. Phone a friend, ask the audience. Gone. Ain't got them no more. It's the £1 million question. There's nothing else. All chips are in. Huddersfield is now the biggest game of the season. So I think that Harris will use this as a positive, as a look what could happen. Look at the situation now. This is what happens when you don't perform. I think Harris will be good at doing that as well, because like I say, to find any positives from the performances, you ain't going to find. You may find a positive in the situation where Harris can use it to our advantage to make sure it doesn't happen again. That's the only positive. Appreciate that, guys. Thank you very much. Have a word with Jay for a pay. Well done, mate. Nice one, Dan. Dan, it was a pleasure as well to link up with you Friday, mate. We will definitely do more of that. Enjoyed having a beer with you, mate, 100%. So, yeah, I appreciate all your kind comments as well, guys. Thank you so much. Again, a pretty mate owes me an holiday. So Mickey's, if he's watching, Mickey, you're in trouble, mate. Because Mickey actually goes on holiday in the morning. So, Mickey, if you've got a spare seat, mate, you better come round and pick me up, by all accounts. So, listen, guys, I appreciate your time. Appreciate Nick for coming on at short notice as well. We just got back from Rotherham to share his thoughts on the game. And I appreciate all your input and chat. And again, some matters of business, just like, share, subscribe to the channel. It does everyone and the pod a mass favour, and keeps the content coming. And we'll be back with a live, the pre-record for my Who Are You should go out this week. And then we'll be back with a preview of the Huddersfield game on Friday, as per usual. But if anybody's got any questions, or Bobby, you said about the Who Are You, again, drop us a DM and we can get that sorted out for you. But look, everybody, thank you for your time tonight. Appreciate it. Hope you all had a good Easter, bar the football. And hope you get back to work and no one's too worse for wear. But yeah, enjoy the rest of your evening and I'll see you on the next one. Thanks, guys.
Oh, giddy up and get away. Oh, we're going to Millwall, how we're going today. Here we go. rocking all over the den.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.